Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. You are listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. I am your host, Lauren Corman. Rob Moore couldn't be with us today. I have a lot of people in the studio and a very packed program coming up. I just wanted to start off by saying thank you to Justin for teching. We really appreciate it. And this is going to be more of a discussion-based program rather than our regular format, interview format. And we're going to be talking about vegan cats and dogs. And we had done a couple of programs about this issue a while ago. We had had Jed Gillen on, who had written a very interesting book called Obligate Carnivore. And he sort of refuted the claims that cats, in particular, are obligate carnivores, that they need meat to survive and to be healthy. And we've also had Eric Weissman on, who is the CEO of Evolution Pet Foods, which is a vegan pet food brand. And we're going to have him back on today. We're also joined in the studio by Adam Wilson, who is the CEA, I think he refers to himself by. And we have him on. He's the CEO of Downbound, which is a very broadly defined store and sort of info clearinghouse, if I could call it that.
Sure.
Sure.
Great.
And one of the co-founders of TARS, Toronto Animal Rights Society. I'm also very pleased to be joined in studio with Ida Fong, and she has a lot of experience with vegan cats and a dog. Is it one dog?
It's one dog.
And has had some health food problems or health problems with her animals when she had them on a vegan diet. And now, coming into the studio, is past host and activist extraordinaire, Mira Soleil Ross, who also has a lot of experience with vegetarian cats. Did you ever have an animal on a vegetarian, or a dog on a vegetarian diet?
Oh, yeah, half a dozen.
Okay. So there's you know...
The problems have been only with cats with us.
Okay. So we have people who have sort of direct experience, as well as a local distributor, Adam Wilson, of a couple of different brands, actually, now, of vegan pet food. And we are also going to be joined from the UK by Dr. Andrew Knight, who is an animal advocate as well as a veterinarian. And he's done a lot of responding to some of the criticisms. In particular, there was a study put out by Christina Gray and Associates that was very heavily critical of the vegan pet foods, specifically for cats. So that's everybody we have in studio. I'm sure they'll get a chance to introduce themselves as we go along. Do we have Eric on the line right now? Super. Okay. And we'll bring Dr. Knight on as well in a couple of minutes. So I just want to say hello to everybody and thank you all for being here.
Hello.
Hello,
thank
Lauren.
You for
thank
having
you
us.
So much.
So maybe we'll start off by hearing a little bit more about people's personal experiences, either as distributors of this food or as people who've had animals on these diets, and sort of your perspective now and how you position yourself in relationship to this very, very difficult debate for a lot of people about whether or not for people who want to live vegan and so they don't want to support the very atrocious slaughterhouse and factory farm industries, if we have a right, and if we should, ethically put our companion animals on a vegan diet. So maybe we'll start off with Ida. I'm really curious to hear what you have to say, and we'll go in order around the table, and we'll get to Eric Weissman as well, who's on the line. So Eric, I just want to say hi to you too. We're just going to hear from some other people, and then I'll let you weigh in at the end, okay?
Sure.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Okay, so Ida, let's start with you.
Okay, sure. I currently have 8 cats and 1 dog. I'm going to be speaking for 9, though. I started them on Evolution pet food, dry and canned, supplemented with enzymes pH or berry balance, as well as some extra taurine, L-carnitine, and missing link. Everything was fine for about a year. One of my cats blocked up really badly, and he actually passed away from the blockage.
What do you mean blocked up?
He was blocked with urinary crystals, which is, it can easily turn fatal within 24 to 48 hours. He didn't show any signs. He literally passed away. We performed a postmortem the next day at the vet, and when they cut into his bladder, he wasn't just filled with crystals. He was completely filled with crystals and grit. A huge amount. We didn't think the food had anything to do with it at the time. We did everything right, you know, according to all my research. And then a few months later, another cat blocked.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second, doing it right. We'll come back to some of your experiences with your animals. So what did this mean, doing it right, in terms of feeding your cats and your dog a vegan diet?
Sometimes it was soaked, but we also had, they were eating half canned food as well, and we supplemented with enzymes pH, which raises lowers their pH level to make it more acidic, because vegetable protein is less acidic than meat protein. We had several water sources in the house, including a cat fountain. They were all adequately drinking enough water. So, you know, that's everything.
These were very, I mean, this sounds like very well-loved cats, and really took a lot of care to do some research and find out what was going to be good for
them. We spent a lot of money, you know, and a lot of time ensuring that everything was okay. But again, a few months later, another cat blocked.
And this was a male or a female?
Male.
Okay.
So he was hospitalized, and luckily they unblocked him okay. A few months after that, another cat blocked. A few months after that, another cat blocked. And the last cat that blocked, unfortunately, he was hospitalized for about a week. They couldn't unblock him, and we had to get him PU surgery, and that's where they reroute his urethra. So, and then his recovery time for that was about 2 weeks. It's a very serious surgery. It's not taken lightly, and it's very expensive. So that's my experience with my cats.
Yeah. Well, we were using that food, that evolution food, for 2 years, and like Ida, we were doing everything according to the book, because I've had experience. I've had one cat that I was very experienced with cats who have urinary tract infection. I knew what it was. I knew what to do to prevent it, etc., etc. So because I've had a cat who had chronic problems with that for years and years before, even I got into health food for cats and vegetarian food and all that. So we switched all our cats to vegetarian food at some point 4 years ago, I think. And they were very healthy and fine for 2 years. And eventually all our males started to block. That was after a year and a half. In a 6 month period, every single male started to block. And it was like so fast the way it was happening,
right,
that it was not what I was used to in terms of cats blocking from just bad food. Like they were all blocking, and I've had, usually if you have a lot of males, you'll have a few will have a problem with urinary. It's a chronic problem, urinary tract infection, urinary blockage. But to have all of them is completely abnormal and unusual. It is a well-known problem amongst vegetarian cat owners that vegetarian cat food, vegan cat food, is more alkaline, and it's more difficult to keep cats. It's more likely that your cats will develop urinary tract problems on a vegan food, because it's alkaline. So there are all kinds of procedures to follow in order to prevent this from happening. Unfortunately, at the time, you know, people still believe that if you followed these things, if you had a source of water like a fountain, for example, which we had, if you supplemented your male cats with some acidifier, the same acidifier which is put into veterinary food that they give to cats that have urinary tract problems, it's methionine. If you supplement your cats with this and you really monitor them well, you will be able to control the problem. And we were able to do that for a period of 3 to 6 months. But then after that, it got out of control, and nothing was doing it. We were using methionine. We were using cranberry powder.
Yeah.
We were using every acidifier that was possible, and even with that, they were blocking. The methionine is the exact same methionine they put in the veterinary food to acidify the food that they give to cats who have urinary tract problems. So it's the same thing, but using that same medication, amino acid, within vegetarian food was not working. We had 12, 13 cats at the time, and all our males block, every single one of them. So not only did our cats who already had a history of urinary tract infection block, but everyone who had never, those are cats we've had for like 3, 6 years, some cases 8 years, even the ones who didn't have a problems blocked. And it cost us like over $5,000 in vet fees.
I mean, yeah,
fees.
Ida was saying that I think that you spent in total something about $10,000.
Yes, I spent $10,000.
And one thing that's really important to say, there was a vegetarian website, a vegan cat website that's called Vegan Cat, cats.com. And even them, it's the guy who wrote the book Obligate Carnivores, is the guy who wrote the book, Jed Gillen, wrote the book promoting vegan cats, and even him now has had to get his cat off vegetarian food because it was no longer able to control the problems with blockages. And on the website has changed. Now on the website they say that encourage people who have male cats to at least feed them some meat food, unless he still believes that if you do everything according to the rule, that you give them methionine every day and you monitor their pH, the pH of their urine, that you'll be able to control it. My response is no, because we were doing it. It was a fucking huge amount of work, but we were not able to control it even with methionine.
I just want to stop you for a second. I want to make sure that Adam and Eric can weigh in, but quickly, because I'm imagining for a vegan audience, they're probably pretty familiar with this issue, but I want to find out just quickly, why did you want to put your animals on this diet? Because I think probably the average meat eater that's listening is rolling their eyes and saying, well, what did you expect? You know, cats are obligate carnivores, and, you know, this is crazy to think that they would have been doing fine. What was this in response to you? You're both very, you know, educated, very, you know, interested in animal ethics and compassion. What brought you in particular, though, to make this transition in the first place?
Well, because I believe that that it's completely unnatural to feed animals meat that's in a can, that's coming from slaughterhouses and factory farms and things like that. I'm completely sold to the argument that if we can, we should be feeding our pets, cats, dogs, whatever pets we have, vegetarian and vegan food. I still believe it is possible to feed cats and dogs a vegan diet. I just don't believe that the companies who are out there right now are producing a product that will make it possible for a lot of people out there to feed a vegan diet to their animals. And that include the VegiPet powder, the whole kit, because I tried that also in the mid-90s. Same problem occurred. Our cats blocked. And that include Evolution. Now, I still have hope in this company. There's a new company that Adam is distributing. It's this Italian company I've been aware of for 2-3 years. And I have hope that this company might be a superior product because I believe that they're more responsible. One of the problem with Evolution is also the company and the owner is not a very responsible person who doesn't engage with his clients.
Let's get back, because I want to make sure that Eric, we do have Eric on the line, but Ida, I wanted to just get your two cents about why you decided to put your animals on a vegan diet.
Well, my reasons are very similar to Mara's. I mean, I'm a vegan animal rights activist, and I just didn't feel right about feeding slaughterhouse waste to my companion animals. They're my family. I did the research. I spoke to people who had put their cats on vegan diets, and back then, there were no problems. I worked with Mira quite closely in ensuring that I was doing the correct things. Since she had a lot of experience with it, I did my research online, etc. I just wanted to reduce the impact of animals being tortured for, you know, our use, basically.
Pretty clear reason. Okay, so we've heard both from Yersele Ross and from Ida Fong, and they were talking about some of the problems that they've had with their companion animals, as well as what brought them initially to feed them in a vegan diet in the first place. We also are joined by the CEO of Evolution Pet Food, as well as Adam Wilson, who is in studio. He's one of the co-founders of TARS, as well as he runs a site called Downbound, which offers various, I guess, two different brands now of vegan pet food. So, Adam, we'll hear from you, and then we'll get Eric Weissman, which I know everyone is looking forward to hearing from in a couple minutes. Eric, please stay on the line.
Thanks very much, Lauren. Well, I started providing vegan cat and dog food several years ago for the exact same reasons that my customers have been interested in finding vegan cat and dog food, because I just hate the notion of killing animals in order to feed other animals, and don't personally differentiate between the consideration that one animal is due as opposed to another. So that was, from an ethical perspective, how I came to being interested in vegan cat and dog food. And as a non-veterinarian, someone who doesn't have a background in nutrition or the science of the food, I rely and always have on the manufacturers and on feedback from my customers as to what the qualities of the food really are. And it's fantastic to be in studio with Ida and Mira Soleil. I know they've been amazing customers of Downbound in the past, and Kara Mesley for their animals, and they have so many of them, and they're doing such a fantastic job of caring for them. And actually, this is the I knew that both of them had problems with their cats blocking on the food, but this is the first time that I heard the extent to which it really really you say that it was happening with, you know, like every single cat, and that's I mean, it breaks my heart to think that that could be coming from the food. It's been difficult, I think, for me from a supplier perspective to know really how to address this particular issue, and without the long-term feed studies that need to be done on any cat food, and they haven't been done for sure on evolution, it's very difficult for someone without a really great scientific background to know what exactly is causing all these problems. Certainly when you've got a whole bunch of cats all encountering problems at the same time, that certainly raises some really big concerns in my mind. So I think that what I'd really like to see is manufacturers stepping up to the plate and doing the studies that are necessary to prove that their foods are adequate nutritionally. I would love to be able to provide food that has had all the studies that are necessary done. The food that that does exist out there, which is AMI, Evinger's, Evolution, are made to certain nutritional standards. The ingredients that go into them are supposed to meet ultimately the nutritional standards set out by the Association of American Feed Control Officials. Obviously, the very best method of ensuring that any food is actually nutritionally adequate is doing these long-term tests to prove it. So one of the newer foods that Mira Soleil mentioned, AMI, which is based out of Italy, is producing a vegan cat kibble as well as dog food. And
I'm going to cut you off just because we can come back to some of the alternatives, but I wanted to make sure so we don't lose our general flow of what we're talking about. We can come back, talk about it later.
Sure.
Eric Weissman, you're on the line.
Hi,
Eric. I hope that you've been able to hear from everybody at this point. And you're the you had mentioned a couple of things on the phone, which would be good for me to mention, and I'm forgetting now, about your educational background as well.
Okay.
So you can mention that. You're the CEO, though, of Evolution Pet Foods.
That's correct.
Please respond to some of these concerns and let us know how you're currently positioned in relationship to vegan pet food.
My background, I have a doctorate in health sciences. And I did study nutrition in my program, and I took extra programs in nutrition at the University of Minnesota. I'm from Toronto originally, and I studied the ingredients in pet foods starting in 1986 in conventional pet foods, and I was very dismayed at what I found. And then subsequent to that, we started research and production of Evolution Diet in 1989. Right now we have dogs and cats that are actually older than the company, like dogs that are almost 20 years old, and we have some cats that are in their 20s that have been on the food for well over a decade, 10 to 14 years. And we've had substantial success in terms of research. We've observed these animals over the past 17 years and found them to be virtually disease-free for the most part. You know, we run into problems like we've had various infectious disorders, including urinary tract disease in some of the animals, but that is infrequent. And I think one of the problems is that when we look at urinary tract disease, we often don't take into account all the factors, especially in a situation where we have multiple cats, a situation where it's very easy for cats to transfer disease through dirty litter and, unfortunately, infectious pathogens that are on the floors of houses and shelters and so forth. So, you know, it's easy to point fingers at food and say, it's probably the food. But in reality, the most common factors we found in causing urinary tract disease are pathogens that are picked up from the floor and also from litter boxes. And, of course, the different types of litters that are used can impact this disease as well. But I can tell you, with all sincerity, we have tens of thousands of dogs, cats, and ferrets on evolution diet throughout the United States and Canada. And we've had them on the food for many years. Some of our clients have been on the product for well over a decade. And we have cats. One of my clients locally here, for example, has a cat that's almost 22 years old, and cats eat nothing but evolution for like 14 years. His name happens to be Rambo. Well, there's one tough cat, and it's a male cat, and it's never had a urinary tract problem. So I think what happens is that it's conventional for veterinarians to blame pet food for diseases like urinary tract disease, but, you know, veterinarians do not have a firm, formal background in nutrition at all. In fact, when I reviewed most of the veterinary colleges in the United States, virtually the most that veterinarians ever receive in terms of formal training in nutrition is only 1 week of nutrition. So I think we have to consider that veterinarians have a very limited background in nutrition, and that they often make judgments based on what pet food companies tell them.
But the veterinarians didn't know that our cats weren't a vegan food, so they didn't judge the food, they didn't judge the diet we were giving them, we didn't tell them. So it's got nothing to do with we're not basing our saying that our cats blocked as a result of being fed evolution on a long-term basis based on the veterinarian's comment. The vet didn't know about it, so it's based on us seeing a change. Our cats were not on that food for a long time. We had only maybe one that had a problem. Then they're on it, and after a year and a half, six cats blocked.
Okay.
And then we got them all off that food, and that's been 2 years, and nobody has had one single health problem since then, and they're being fed the worst, lowest crappy food you can give them. You know, it's the CD from the vet. So
okay. When you were feeding evolution, were you moisturizing?
We already mentioned all that. We had water fountain. We were moisturizing the food. We were using a
How
mix.
How much were you
moisturizing?
Excuse me.
We were mixing the food with water.
How much water?
Oh, you see,
are we talking 1-to-1?
2-to-1 probably. And we were also mixing cans in it. So not only were we adding water to the kibbles, we were also putting cans in there.
And acidifiers as
and
well.
And an acidifier as well.
Okay. Well, you're certainly doing a lot of work to make sure that your cats were adequately fed.
But to make sure that they're not having a problem from your food.
And what kind of litter were you using?
The litter was just, depending on the week, we don't always use the same kind of litter. But don't move the focus away from from the problems we're having with food to a cat litter problems right now. Don't start to tell us how many times a week we're washing the floor.
Well,
these are also not...
Okay,
hello. I'm just going to jump in here.
Okay.
I'm the host of the program.
Okay, I can appreciate that you had a lot of difficulty, but that's very uncommon. I mean, we, like I said, we We supply the largest sanctuaries in the United States.
Well, the sanctuary you're supplying has shut down. You have on your website...
Are you talking about farm sanctuaries?
No, I'm talking about the
North
wolf sanctuary has shut down.
I'm not talking
about
a wolf sanctuary.
Well,
now.
You have them on your website. You see, you supply this wolf sanctuary.
We
the wolf sanctuary
yes,
does not
do
exist anymore.
Just
yes.
shut down.
For people who are listening, it's very difficult to follow what's
okay.
going on. So
well,
we have... I'm just going to regroup us for a second. We have Eric Weissman, who is the CEO of Evolution Pet Food. We have Mira Saleh, who's been responding to him. She has a number of cats who were once on the vegan diet, and we're also joined by Adam Wilson from Downbound and Ida Fong. And we also have Dr. Andrew Knight, who on the line from the UK, who is a veterinarian. He's been responding to some of the formal, at least one of the formal studies, scientific studies that has been done about vegan pet foods. Ida, I really wanted to hear from you again to respond to Eric, because I know that you've had some difficulties getting in touch.
Oh, yes. Well, first I wanted to address something, which is that this is not just happening in multi-cat households. I have contacted a couple of vegan communities online, and almost everybody in those communities who have fed Evolution have had problems. I have the documentation right here. I've tried to contact Mr. Weissman 3, maybe 4 times over the past 6 months, and I have not received one response yet.
How did you try and call me?
I emailed you because I...
Why didn't you phone?
Why didn't you answer
I phoned
your email?
You and you never responded, so don't switch that topic again.
It seems to me that this is getting pretty unbalanced because, you know, here we have tens of thousands of animals on nationally without problem.
We want documentation.
Okay,
we want
and then you've got these
you
people just jumping on my
food.
Case, so it seems to be a little unbalanced.
Okay, Eric, please stay on the line. We're gonna switch over now and hear from Dr. Knight, who is joining us from the UK. And sorry we haven't had a chance to bring you formally into the conversation yet, but you are involved with animalconsultants.org. You're an animal advocate as well as a veterinarian, and I know that you've had a chance to respond to some of these concerns that have come out directly, I guess, out of the Journal of the American Veterinary Medical Association. So, Dr. Knight, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing? Have you had a chance to listen to what some of the discussion that's been happening here?
Yes, I have been following a little bit, and I'm not sure it's a bad thing that I haven't had the opportunity to jump in yet. It sounds like an unsafe place to be.
It sounds like an unsafe place to be. Well, let's hear your perspective.
Well, scientifically, there's absolutely no reason at all why a sound vegan diet cannot be formulated for cats. It is true that most of the lower urinary tract problems that occur in cats are not caused by blockages. They're caused by pathogens and by stress and by viruses. In fact, the full range of causes is not yet fully understood. However, blockages certainly are caused by stones, and there are two main causes of that. One is the dietary content, particularly the proportion of minerals such as magnesium, and other substances such as potassium and phosphorus. And the second cause is the urinary pH, and it's already been mentioned on air that the urinary pH can become more alkaline on a vegan diet, and what that does is it changes the the pH of the urine closer to something called the isoelectric point, which is the point at which the crystals tend to crystallize out of the urine and form stones. So that's the problem. There are two potential causes of actual stones and blockages in the urinary tract. One is the nutritional content, particularly the mineral content of the diet, and the second is the pH of the urine. So really what needs to be done, I think, to prevent that from occurring is for, firstly, it to be ensured that vegan cat diets are nutritionally correct, that they do not have excess magnesium and phosphorus, for example. And secondarily, very regular monitoring of the pH, and if there is urinary alkalinization occurring, then it needs to be addressed quickly with appropriate urinary acidifiers. So there's no theoretical reason why these things can't occur quite successfully. And obviously, in some cases, there have been some major problems with blockages occurring, and it must be either that the diet is nutritionally incorrect or else that the the pH additives are not strong enough for the cases in question.
So in terms of your research on and considering of various different commercial vegan pet foods, have you found that they're all about the same in terms of what they offer nutritionally for cats in terms of that adequacy?
I think there's quite a range in terms of the dietary content, which is a shame because the nutritional requirements for adult cats are fairly well understood, and the minimum requirements are set out by organisations such as the Association of American Food Control Officials. The actual dietary contents of the vegan companion animal diets do vary, as do the dietary contents of commercial meat-based diets. There have been two studies demonstrating variations in the dietary content of vegan cat foods. One's been in Europe looking at a range of products, and the other's been in America looking at two different brands. Both of those studies did demonstrate variation in the standards of the vegan cat foods and in some cases nutritional deficiencies. However, when there have been studies done of commercial meat-based diets, there have also been very concerning outcomes. For example, the Food and Drug Administration surveyed 43 brands of commercial dog food, and they discovered detectable levels of euthanizing solution in all of those brands. That's caused because often there are carcasses from animal shelters from dogs that are euthanized due to lack of good homes, and those are sent to rendering plants and incorporated into commercial meat-based dog food. And the euthanizing solution is still detectable at very low levels in all surveyed brands. So that's just one example of the many problems that are found in commercial meat-based diets. Just like with the vegan companion animal diets, there's probably quite a range of variation in the nutritional content of those diets as well.
So what do you suggest for people then who are trying to make ethical choices about moving forward? I mean, there are clearly here in the studio, you know, two people who have tried very hard to make a vegan pet food work for the animals, and it just hasn't been. What do you have any suggestions for them?
I would suggest that consumers contact manufacturers and ask for laboratory reports or studies demonstrating that the nutritional content of their food is in fact adequate for cats. Secondarily, something that everyone can do is just rely upon their common sense. If, as Mira has experienced, there does seem to be a marked elevation in the incidence of a certain problem after switching to a certain diet, they should probably try another diet. There are all sorts of technical ways that could be explored, but for a simple guardian of a vegan cat at home, you can simply use your common sense. People often report, after transitioning to a vegan diet, a whole range of changes that the average cat owner can observe, such as an improvement in the coat condition, coats becoming more glossy, weight loss, regression of problems such as arthritis and diabetes and ocular cataracts. So people will be able to see improvements like this after they switch to a vegan companion animal diet. There are a lot of case reports describing things like that. Obviously, the opposite is also true. If people do observe a marked increase in problems, then they obviously should change diet.
That's why I'm so hopeful that, you see, my issue is not that I believe it's not possible to feed, and it's not the problem is not that. It's not that we're feeding cats a vegan diet. I don't buy that. My problem is just the limited number of companies right now who are producing food. We have only three. Well, there's one company in Australia. There's this company from Italy. And there are two companies in the United States. Those are the only ones. I've tried the two ones that are available in North America. I had the same problems with both. And both also have come out as inadequate in the study that was performed.
Done by Christina Gray.
Yeah. So the number, the range, see, I'd be happy. Me, I'm hoping there's going to be 15, 20 more people who are going to concoct some diets and who will produce vegan food in the future, because I really believe it is possible to do it. It's just a matter of having people who really know what they're doing and who will be interacting with customers and with people who are using the food in order to address problems.
Eric, are you still online?
I am.
I was wondering, because when we had talked yesterday on the phone, you talked about how you're changing the diet or how you've changed the diet over the year. So there's one, I want to ask you about how the diet has changed, as well as I know that you have an incredible amount of anecdotal evidence, but what were some of the measures that you took or the more formal studies that were done in terms of your food to ensure its safety?
Well, the most prevalent thing that I've done is I've had all the animals that have been on evolution in our shelter situation autopsied at the University of Minnesota Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory. So they've all been necropsied after they've succumbed for various disorders.
But was there anything done that was like, I mean,
in no case were nutritional deficiencies found to result in the death of any of the animals that were necropsied at the University of Minnesota over the past 18 years. So it's never been, nutritional deficiency syndromes have never been related to the deaths of any of the animals that have been necropsied there. Let me make that absolutely clear. And in no case did any animal ever die from urinary tract blockage. No case. Okay, what we found over the past 18 years is that some of the animals have died with, kidney failure, which is a very common cause of death in all cats fed on any type of pet food, including the so-called natural raw food diet. And also, found that some of the animals succumbed, of course, to heart disease and stroke. So those are not other common disorders. We've virtually found no cases of cancer. That's been virtually non-existent in any of the animals that have succumbed. We've had several animals that have died from multiple organ failure. But in every case, these animals have lived normal life expectancies.
Eric, this is Adam. Why aren't we doing, like, real feed trials?
Well, for one thing, we have a problem with real feed trials because real feed trials have to be conducted in a laboratory setting. The information that I receive on observations on the animals from outside our own shelter operation or rescue have been from people in the field, and what we've done is like a formal epidemiological study where we received information back from people that have had the animals on the food for an extended period of time, or animals that have succumbed while they've been on the diet.
So do customers have access to this formal research that has been done in a report form?
No, it's never been put into a formal quantitative, qualitative study format, but we have the results of hundreds of animals that have been on the food over the past 18 years because people respond by filling out the questionnaires and then sending them back to us, and we keep like a file of the different disorders that have arisen and the life expectancies of the animal. And in virtually all cases, I have to say that we found that almost from the outset that the life expectancies of the animals on the people, at least, that have responded in the study have been normal, that they've been normal. And in a lot of cases, we found that the animals have exceeded normal life expectancy, and we're finding up to 70% increases in life expectancy in both dogs and cats that have been on the food for extended periods of time.
So, Eric,
may I finish, please? But I have to qualify this, that most of the people that answered the questionnaires have normal family home settings. So these are animals that are not in large volume kennels or in shelter situations. Those people have not been as responsive. And in a way, that might be good for us because, unfortunately, when you have multi-cat or multi-dog situations, generally they don't live as long and they do have tendencies to develop more diseases because they're in contact with more animals and they're more stressed out, and there's more pathogenic contact because of the, you know, deposition of feces on the floor and so forth, and of course other pathogens that are tracked into multi-animal shelters.
There's no
and
shit on the floor at home. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure you don't deliberately put feces on the floor, but your animals do sit on the floor.
No, but it's already been mentioned that there are other cases where people have one or two cats in large home settings and they're still having the same problems.
Okay, but that is infrequent. And, you know, it does happen, but it's infrequent. I want to emphasize that we have tens of thousands of animals on the food right now throughout the United States and Canada. And we get most of the calls right at our company for sick animals. I take calls every day for people that have sick animals, and I respond to them and I give them some advice on how they can treat it nutritionally or with herbs.
But you're not a veterinarian or animal nutritionist.
I'm not a formal animal nutritionist, no. But I do have substantial background in that area because I work in that area. So I do have, I've had thousands of successes in treating sick animals, including animals that have had blocked urinary tracts.
Eric, you are saying that people are calling you every day with sick animals.
Eric, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
yes.
it's not to be rude, but we just only have about 10 minutes
sure.
left. You talked about on the phone about the evolution diet changing. I'm wondering if things were going so well, why the diet changed and how the diet has changed.
Well, the reason why the diet has changed, for example, methionine and urinary tract acidity has certainly been a consideration. So what we did to improve performance of the food in that area and reduce the risk of bacterial infection is double the amount of methionine that's put in the food, and that's two times the amount that's in conventional pet food. So we've definitely increased the urinary tract acidity. Additionally, quite a few years ago, we realized that adding water to the food on a one-to-one ratio on our dry food, adding one part water to one part pet food, dry pet food, and leaving it sit for 1 to 2 hours to totally saturate the small kibbles would result in a substantial decrease in urinary tract disease and also kidney disease.
So then people were coming with these problems, and you were finding out that this would be something that would alleviate the problems?
Right. So we formulated the food starting about 5 years ago to be hydrated fully, one part water to one part food, and leaving it sit for about 1 to 2 hours to fully saturate. We found not only from the research done by Dr. Richard Pitcairn, but through our own trials and errors, that cats are sort of hardwired to get their fluids from their food, not to drink as much as they normally would to saturate their food inside the intestines. And we also found that from our autopsy studies. So based on autopsy studies and also the drinking habits of cats, we found that because cats are hardwired to get their fluids mostly from their food, we then decided, you know, to formulate the food so that it should be fully hydrated before it was fed. And we found that works a lot better for dogs as well as cats and ferrets. And so now we recommend as a standard procedure to add water, one part water to one part food, wait 1 to 2 hours to serve. And one of the problems we've had with our, unfortunately, with our distributors is though we've told them that it's really important to share that with their clients and customers, that hasn't come to fruition. We put it on all our labeling. We have it on the front page of our website. Unfortunately, our distributors haven't shared that information with their clientele,
Eric,
as much as they should.
Sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt you again just because we're down to the wire here. I wanted to give everybody at least a couple minutes. This is just to add their last bit. We wanted to do another program on this topic, so for our listeners who are just tuning into to Animal Voices today, this will be an ongoing conversation. But I just wanted to hear from people. Please keep in mind that you only have about 2 minutes or less to speak. But I wanted to hear people's responses, closing comments as we finish the program. So Ida, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay, I don't really have that much time, I guess. So all I have to say is, everybody should research their food, talk to people who have had problems. Don't dismiss these problems as just anecdotal, because this is happening with a lot of people, whether or not the food companies want to admit it. I have documentation, Mira Soleil has heard from people as well.
Can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about your experiences in some way, or we can get them in touch with you somehow?
Yeah, actually, people can email me at ida.fong@gmail.com.
Okay, great. Mira Saleh.
I think that I don't want what you're saying is a problem to be used as an argument against the ethics of feeding cats.
I agree.
A vegan diet. I'm still completely behind all the arguments for feeding cats a vegan diet. This being said, we can't make things work and make things improve by dismissing our problems and by dismissing people like us who have very extensive experience with trying to feed cats a vegan diet. It is true that there are a small number, but a number of companies out there, and I think that we have to encourage more companies to and more distribution of the few that are available out there, and hope for the best.
Okay. I should just do a quick station ID. I realize we haven't done that yet. This is Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5. We're going to turn it over to Adam Wilson.
Well, firstly, Lauren, I just really want to thank you for doing this show. I think it's definitely an important topic for us to be discussing. And I think that what I would like to see is manufacturers recognizing their responsibility to provide customers with hard data, factually based, that can be backed up with proof. And certainly as a supplier, it does make me feel uncomfortable to not have all of that information available to me. And I would like to point to one manufacturer in Italy called Ami, which is another manufacturer of vegan cat kibble, a more recent introduction to the market. And they actually have been very responsive to questions that I've asked them, and have come to me back to me with facts without rhetoric, in my view. And they are actually in the process of conducting feed trials, which demonstrates to me that they truly believe in the quality of their food and are willing to prove that to their customers, which is just so essential to me. It frustrates me that that we don't have more commitment from other manufacturers on that. The feed trials that Ami is conducting apparently will be finished in 2007. And eventually, when the big manufacturers get into the business of supplying cat food that is vegan, that's when I think we're really going to see a change in the quality of the food that's provided.
I just want to make sure that we still have Dr. Knight on the line. Are you still there?
Yep.
Okay,
yeah, sure.
I'm going to let you have the last word, but I want to turn it over to Eric Weissman, CEO of Evolution Pet Foods. Give us your last 2 cents, Eric, before we close the interview.
Okay, and I appreciate your time and effort in putting this together. Unfortunately, I wish you'd had, it could have been more balanced from the standpoint of having some people, many people, most people that have successes with Evolution Diet and other vegetarian products, because there are many more that have successes than failures. Obviously, that's how come our company's in business, and that's why we have so many shelters and multi-cat operations and multi-dog operations that use our food throughout the United States. But I guess that's about all I can say. We doubled our methionine to increase the urinary tract acidity. We've advised people to wait to add equal volumes of water to the food to saturate it to reduce the risk of those problems. Unfortunately, some of our distributors have not shared that information with other people, and these are the kinds of results that occur.
Okay.
And that's the problem I see.
Okay, thanks, Eric, for joining us today. And Andrew, let's turn it over to you. I'll give you the last 2 minutes before we say goodbye.
All right, thank you. I wanted to make your listeners aware that the first large-scale study of the long-term health of vegan cats has been completed and is expected to be published in a veterinary journal in the coming year. It's been conducted by a couple of people at the University of Pennsylvania Veterinary School, and I'm in touch with them. The general outcomes of the study are positive. They do indicate that cats maintained on a vegan diet long-term are generally healthy, more healthy than the cats maintained on the commercial meat-based diet. There have been a whole bunch of case studies indicating problems and benefits of animals on either side of the argument, and that's why we really resort to scientific studies rather than anecdotal evidence like that as providing the final sort of proof in a sense. The scientific studies of commercial meat-based diet indicate a whole range of problems, such as kidney, liver, heart, neurologic, visual and other problems. There's only been one study indicating any problems at all on a vegan diet, and that diet was known prior to the commencement of the study to be nutritionally inadequate. So I guess I'll leave it there. I guess I would encourage your listeners, if they have problems with a particular vegan diet to persist, do go through the entire range. On my website on this topic, there are listed around about 15 suppliers around the world. I wouldn't give up until, you know, people have probably gone through the list and tried to find a diet that is acceptable for them. And finally, I'll just make people aware that my website, vegepets.info, has a detailed health and nutritional discussion of the entire topic of vegan cat food and commercial meat-based diets as well, for anyone who wants further information.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I wanted to let people know, too, that we did get a couple of very positive letters about vegan cats and dogs. With permission, I will be posting those on the website. We have a new feature on animalvoices.ca where all of our archive programs are, where people can post comments. So I'd very much encourage you to weigh in on this topic on our website and check out some of our archives. Next week we have Neil Bernard on, and he's the I think he's the president of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He's going to be talking with Rob and myself about cheese. So that should be an interesting program. Wanted to say thank you to everybody that got here today. Ida, Mir Saleh, Adam, Andrew, and Eric, thank you all for being on the program. And we will revisit this again. And thank you for all of your comments, as well as to Justin for teching, Carl for helping out with all of the technical glitches. Thanks so much. Stay tuned for Roadrunner. You are listening to CIUT 89.5.